Support for Impact Cincinnati comes from Murray and Robin Sinclair.
Good morning. This is Impact Cincinnati and 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. So the new year is here, and for many, that means the resolution to lose weight and become more healthy. This morning, we're going to talk about how to do that. Joining me are founder and CEO of Viable Synergy, LLC, and dietitian, Sunny Southern, director of the Cincinnati Diabetes and Obesity Center and professor at UC College of Medicine, Department of Internal Medicine, Dr. Randy Seeley, and University of Cincinnati College of Nursing professor and dietitian, Dr. Bonnie Brehm. You can email your questions and your comments to impact@wvxu.org or post them on our Facebook page. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we hear it every year. I know I'm one of those people that fights the battle of the bulge and is always wondering about the best way to try to get rid of those extra pounds. What do you tell people at this time of year when everyone seems to immediately be motivated, at least for a little while? How do they get started? Bonnie, you want to start?
Okay. I think one of the most important things to remember is to start with small, achievable, realistic goals. And also specific goals. You know, at this time of year, as you said, you know, you may be prone to say, well, I'm going to be more physically active this year. That's a goal, but you're much better off if you can be more specific and say, I'm going to set my alarm 30 minutes earlier every morning and get up and walk for 30 minutes. And, you know, just that sense of accomplishment is often what we need to keep us going and to keep us on track toward reaching that goal.
Any other ideas?
I think the issue for a lot of people is being realistic, right? And part of the thing that I think a lot of people don't understand about their weight is that it's not a random number, right? It is a variable that your body is in control of as well as you. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you look at how much you're going to eat this year, right, it's going to be like 900,000 calories. So if you wanted to gain 1 pound, you'd actually only have to overeat by 4,000 calories, right?
So that means over a year.
Over a year. Right, so that means you'd eat 904,000 calories and burn 900,000. Most people are within that pound a year of gaining or losing, right? And remember, it's cumulative, right? So the pound you gained last year is with you when you gained the pound this year. So much of the obesity epidemic is really very small differences between your intake and your expenditure. Why do I bring that up? Well, the point here is that 4,000 calories a year, right, is 11 calories a day, right? So the difference between a lean society and obese society is really 11 calories per person per day. It's a potato chip. And the point here is that we think that we're all in conscious control of how much that we eat, but the reality is there's a lot of biology to it. There's a lot of our bodies and our brains that are controlling it in ways that isn't just voluntary behavior. So the idea that you're just going to set a goal and say, I'm going to lose 60 pounds this year. Well, your body is going to fight you with that. So again, trying to set achievable goals, both in terms of how much weight you lose and setting other goals that have to do with your health, not just your weight, are important things to remember.
Sunny?
So I wanted to speak a little bit about some of the cool apps that are out there that can help you both set specific and measurable goals that are realistic and then help you track. So it's really important to establish a level of baseline for yourself when you're setting those goals. So getting a doctor's appointment, understanding what your weight is today, looking at your cholesterol levels, looking at your blood sugar levels, really having a very strong foundation for setting those goals is important. And then using specific tools to be able to help you to understand those small changes that you're making, maybe a half a pound here or half a pound there, really makes a huge difference. Because as what Randy said, it's that accumulation of either the gain or the loss over time that's going to make the biggest difference.
Well, you brought up a lot of things, and I think I'd like to sort of hone in on each one of them. And talking about, Bonnie, talking about the specific goals and what you have. You talked about setting your alarm 30 minutes early and walking every day. What are some other just little steps you can take that might make a difference?
Well, in terms of diet, what we as dietitians tend to do is to just look at what you are taking in now and then just perhaps delete or add. You know, we don't want to make this all about restriction, but also adding healthier foods in place of less healthy foods. But, you know, looking at each meal, adding maybe a piece of fruit at lunch, maybe taking away that soft drink or drinking less of that soft drink, or substituting that soft drink with something, you know, with less calories or no calories, maybe, you know, water with some lemon added or whatever it might be. But, you know, again, looking at what you are taking in now and not throwing it out the window. You know, we are who we are, and part of what we eat is actually who we are. So, you know, it's not taking away everything that we're doing now, but rather just making, again, very small changes. And then over time, I know a study that was done last year said that it takes an average of 66 days for a small lifestyle change, such as adding a piece of fruit at lunch or walking 15 minutes at lunch. A repetition daily of those small changes takes about 66 days to become a habit, to become an automatic response. So, you know, if you think of it that way, if you can make a small change every couple months, again, additively, you know, it will be a significant change over time.
What can you expect from doing that? When are you going to really not so much have it as a habit, but see a change? If you add a piece of fruit at lunch, and maybe that means you're not eating a cookie or something like that, will it take 66 days before you notice a change and feel any differently, or will that come any sooner?
Physiological changes may come sooner. I mean, if you're talking about weight, again, it takes almost 4,000 calorie change to lose, you know, deficit to lose a pound. So how long would that take? Well, with a piece of fruit, it probably would take about that long to lose a pound. You know, what we say is that if we look at your diet now and we can help you to subtract about 500 calories intake per day, that theoretically should be about a pound per week weight loss. So again, as Randy said, our bodies defend our weight, and, you know, we all have different mechanisms for our weight changes. But, you know, theoretically on the books, if you cut back 500 calories, or if you take in 500 calories less than you're expending, then, you know, you should lose 1 pound per week.
We can contrast that to what people will soon see again on The Biggest Loser. Right, where people are trying to make very large scale changes in a very short amount of time to be a contest, right, to see who can lose the most weight. And I think all of us here would say that much of what happens on that show can be dangerous, particularly if you're doing it in an unsupervised way. So as an example, a lot of those folks lose 20 or 30 pounds in the first week. I can guarantee you that there is no way to lose 20 or 30 pounds of body fat in that 1 week. So what they're losing a lot of is water, right? Whether they're taking diuretics, making them urinate water, or that they're just simply sweating and not replacing that with appropriate fluids, that is weight loss, but it's not healthy weight loss. By carrying around less water, you're not going to be better off as a human being, right? So the point here is that setting these small goals is much more realistic for most people and a lot safer than it would be to try to lose 20 or 30 pounds in a week.
What is a safe amount of weight to try to lose in a week? And I'm sure there's a range depending on your size and those sorts of things, but...
So again, a pound or at most 2 pounds in a week is usually what we consider safe and doable in the sense of being able to lose it as body fat rather than losing it as water, right? One of the things I think people get misled by is if you're on the scale every day or you're on the scale a couple times a day, what you're going to see is that there's a lot of fluctuations there. And what you really want to do is, it's fine to weigh yourself every day, but what you're really looking for is the running average, how it's changing over time. Not that I lost 3 pounds today, because you're going to potentially gain 2 of those pounds back depending on how it is that you lost that weight. And we all get misled when you gain 2 pounds and you're distraught over the fact that you gained 2 pounds, when in fact the trend line is that you've moved from, that you've lost 10 pounds over 6 months, right? And that's really what you want to be looking for.
So really look at those longer trends as you go.
Yes.
You have some apps you can tell us about, Sunny, that will work to help you keep track of all of this?
Sure. I would love to tell you about some cool ways to keep track of everything. The first thing I wanted to speak about was personal health records. So we talked about the importance of that initial doctor's visit and understanding where you are at at the moment. So personal health records, like Epic has MyChart, and Cincinnati is an Epic city. So most people in the community, if they have a physician in the greater Cincinnati area, are going to have MyChart, which is a personal health record or a personal health portal. There are also those that are independent of your physician, like Microsoft Health Vault, that's pretty well known. There used to be one through Google, but that is no longer in existence. So I would find a personal health record that would be easy for people to use. You can even use just a simple piece of paper or an Excel file that allows you to track those important key components like your weight and your blood pressure and your cholesterol and your blood sugar, things like that, to make sure you have a baseline. Then there are some really neat things to help track over time your weight, your exercise level, your to engage with people in a community so that you can get the social support. So from a tracking perspective, there are tools like the Daily Burn that it's a free app that you can download on the iPhone or on an Android app, and allows you to do things that are really, this one's really, really cool. I use this myself. You can do things like, first of all, track your weight, track your activity, but it's really easy to track your caloric intake utilizing this particular app. So you can do things like take a picture of your food and it will calculate how many calories are in the entire dish. You can use a barcode scanner so that you can scan things like yogurt or cereal and you'll know exactly how many calories. You have to do a few things like record what this portion size is, but it does a lot of this very complicated work that it usually takes a dietitian to do really on its own. You still need a dietitian for the support and the science and making sure that you're doing the right things, but it's a great tool to augment the care that you get from a dietitian or your physician.
How accurate is it taking a picture of your plate? I mean, somebody might put 3 pats of butter on their potato. Somebody else might just have, you know, a little sour cream. I mean, is it pretty accurate?
And that, you know, that's a really great point. And how accurate is it? Well, that's a great question that hasn't been scientifically proven yet. I guess it goes back to the trends, like what Randy was talking about. It gives people somewhat of a basis and a guideline to go by, so that it's better than having absolutely nothing. The ideal would be to have a dietitian.
There's no app that can make it so that you can't defeat it if you want to, right? These are all tools to make it easier for you, right? So again, if you wanted to trick the photo, right, you can trick the photo, right? You can hide the butter under the potato, right? I mean, there's lots of things you could do. But the point is that these aren't meant to be an absolute accurate number. It's meant to be more accurate than your eye alone could be at estimating how many calories are in a dish.
You talk about, you know, safe to lose maybe a pound or two a week as you go. Yet you also talk about that your body's going to fight you on that. Talk about metabolism and what you can do to jumpstart that so your body will quit fighting you.
So this is important, right? Because people want to burn more calories, and physical activity is the obvious way to do that. But again, you have to set realistic expectations about how many calories you can really burn in standard looking exercise, or in the kind of exercise that has real benefits for your health. You're still not burning that many calories. You're talking about burning 200 or 300 calories. Think about how easy it is to make up 200 or 300 calories when you go to the cafeteria, right? So again, it's easy for people to say, well, I exercised today and therefore I can eat more. Well, again, how much more turns out to be a lot smaller than you would have thought. Now, here's the other point. As you said, when we start to lose weight, our bodies know that, right? Our brain knows that you're underweight compared to where you were. And what does it do? It fights you in two very important ways. One is it makes you hungrier, right? So as you lose weight, you're going to feel hungrier when food is around, right? It's going to be harder and harder to fight that temptation. The other side is your metabolism will slow down, right? It makes sense evolutionarily, right, that your body, when it's underweight compared to what it thinks it should be, that it would try to burn less calories in order to maintain those stored fuel that it wants to keep on and hold on for later use. So working out and exercising in all sorts of different activities will help you fight that, but you're not going to completely fight it. You are going to lose some of that ability to burn calories as you try to lose weight. And again, that's part of being realistic, right? Your biology is going to work against you, and it is going to try to make you hungrier and burn less in order to bring your weight back to where it was. And that's why so many people make this resolution every single year, right? Because their biology is going to push them back to the place they were before.
What about things that I've heard that if you put, you know, you eat spicier food, that makes your metabolism work harder and those sorts of things. Are there tricks to really jumpstart the metabolism?
So there's lots of information out there that comes across in your 2 a.m. infomercial, right, trying to get you to believe all sorts of different things about how you might lose weight. And the problem is, most of the time, those people are selling you something, right? And again, obesity is a very good repeat customer base, right? Because people will lose weight for some period of time with almost any piece of advice you give them, right? If they start monitoring and paying more attention, they'll lose weight for a period and then they'll regain it, and you get to sell them something new. You get to blame them for the fact that it didn't work and then sell them something new come January 2014. So the point here is, there is no easy shortcuts in terms of trying to turn on your metabolism that are safe. Right? There are things that we can do that would churn up your metabolism, but the problem with many of them is that they would come with increased cardiovascular risk.
And exercise alone won't do it.
It will, again, the more lean tissue you have on your body, right, as opposed to fat tissue on your body, the more calories you will burn just sitting, even when you're not doing exercise. But again, your body's likely going to be using that to make you hungrier at the same time. Right, so you have to realize that. No, and I want to be clear about this. All of those activities, eating better, getting more physical activity, is a really good idea. Right, it makes you healthier. But setting up weight as the only parameter that you worry about is likely a recipe for failure and at least some level of negative feelings about yourself that make it very hard to then pick up and do the things that you can control to make a difference in your health. So the point here is, weight is something that we should be concerned about, right? It matters to your health. But if you think about it as the only way to get healthier is to lose weight, well, again, I think you're missing out on some of the opportunities you have for the new year.
We are talking about losing weight and getting healthier this morning on Impact Cincinnati. If you have a question or a comment, email us, impact@wvxu.org, or post it on our Facebook page. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment.
Support comes from Miami University's College of Arts and Science, where students in the biological, physical, and environmental sciences use state-of-the-art laboratories and research facilities to pose and investigate complex scientific questions. On the web at cas.muohio.edu.
Hi, I'm Jim Brown in for Gian Gomeshi. Coming up, the Brooklyn band Grizzly Bear in performance from their 2012 record Shields, an album that nabbed number one on our top 20. Grizzly Bear coming up on Q from PRI, Public Radio International.
You can hear Q tonight at 9 o'clock on 91.7 WVXU. This is Impact Cincinnati. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're talking today about getting healthier, losing weight, resolutions for the new year. My guest, University of Cincinnati College of Nursing professor and dietitian, Dr. Bonnie Brehm, director of the Cincinnati Diabetes and Obesity Center and professor at UC College of Medicine, Department of Internal Medicine, Dr. Randy Seeley, and founder and CEO of Viable Synergy, LLC, Sunny Southern. She is also a dietitian. Again, if you have a question, impact@wvxu.org or on our Facebook page. We do have one question that I want to get to, and this comes from Bianca, who says, she's interested to know if you've ever heard of the health at every size movement and what you think about it. Bonnie?
I have heard of that. And actually, Canada adheres more to that philosophy, perhaps, than we do in the United States. But, you know, it basically is saying what I think Randy was alluding to as well, and that is that, you know, our health and our health status is not based solely on our weight. You know, weight is one component, but that's not saying that you cannot be in that BMI category that says you're overweight and still not be very healthy. So, you know, sometimes I think we have become so weight conscious and almost weight obsessed that we forget that message, that it's not all about the number on the scale.
Yeah, there's two things going on here at the same time, right? One is what individuals can and should do to try to take control of their bodies and their health. And we're trying to give you these kinds of steps that you should be taking that are also weight independent. But what's also true is a society, right, in terms of policy and the way we think about it, again, obesity is a problem, right? We can't ignore the fact that it is driving increased healthcare costs, increasing rates of diabetes, increasing rates of cancer and cardiovascular disease. But the kinds of movements that we're talking about really do matter in terms of saying, look, we can't, as an individual, we can't necessarily entirely control our own weight, and that we should try to be healthy at the weight that we're at.
This is from Rachel, who said, I've always noticed it's easier for me to lose the weight when I stop obsessing and focusing on food as a reward, but instead see it as fuel. Do you think that's true? Do you think the more people think about it, the harder it is to actually lose the weight?
No question about it. The more that you're thinking about anything, the more it's on your mind. And so I like to profess a philosophy of let's focus more on the things that we can do versus the things that we can't do. So more about what to do and less about what not to do. So things like eating more fruits and vegetables, just making it a habit to eat more fruits and vegetables, to drink more water than anything else, to exercise more, to do things like we all know that we should do, take the stairs, park farther away from the door. There are so many things. Doing sit-ups or push-ups or jumping jacks or walking more. There's just so many things that we all know as a country. We're probably better educated today than we have ever been about what we should and should not do. And yet we still don't do it. So focusing only on the number on the scale, and depending on what time of day that you get on the scale, can determine what it is. If you eat something out at a restaurant and it happens to have more salt in it than what you typically eat, you're going to see a difference in your scale the next day that may or may not be something that's going to be long term. It more than likely won't be. You're not going to put that much fat on in a day, right? So really focusing on the long-term goals. The other thing I wanted to mention is the social environment. It's really important, as Bonnie said earlier, that you know our environment and who we hang out with and what we choose to do has a huge influence on our ability to make healthy behavior changes. So if you're really in a position where you want to make a change in your health and you recognize that everyone around you is still in their mode of, you know, making unhealthy choices, then more than likely you're going to have to find some new people to hang out with, or make it very clear that you are not going to go out on Friday night and drink beer because you're going to go out and run the next day. Or when you go to a restaurant, at times it can be challenging to ask for everything on the side and make sure there's no butter and make sure there's no cheese. But if you're with other people who support those behaviors, it's a lot easier to do that too.
You're not the only one asking for it at the restaurant.
Exactly.
One of the things that we've heard about a lot are the whole idea of soft drinks and the sugar and the empty calories in soft drinks. Yet a lot of people drink diet soft drinks, and that is supposed to be better. My own experience, I quit drinking diet soft drinks about 2 years ago, and the week I did it, I lost 10 pounds. So that was crazy to me, because that's the only change really that I made in my health. Now, I'm not advocating that, and I'm not saying it's good or bad, but I'm curious, is our diet soft drinks as bad for you as regular soft
drinks? Congratulations on losing the 10 pounds, right? Taking a step that you thought that made a difference. And what I think the data would say is that the high sugary drinks, right, more consumption of those is clearly associated with negative impacts on your weight and your health. The issue about whether just substituting diet drinks is how much better that is versus consuming something that has no other chemicals and components to it, like water, is unclear from the data. And again, people will tell you one thing or another very authoritatively.
Well, you hear that diet soft drinks can be an appetite enhancer. They make you hungry.
Yeah. So here's what's true. It's clear that your body has a hard time handling when one flavor has multiple outcomes in terms of the number of calories. So in other words, if one day you're drinking a fully loaded soda and the next day you're drinking the diet version, your body doesn't know how many calories is coming based on what the flavor it has. And that's what it's usually doing, right? You don't get all the calories out of your food before you stop eating, right? So your body has to learn, by the way, this amount of this flavor, it's going to result in this number of calories. When you make it very hard by mixing back and forth, you're going to make it much more difficult for your body to know how many calories is in and make that meal appropriate in terms of the number of calories you're going to take in.
So don't mix it up. If you're going to drink diet. If you're going to drink regular, drink regular.
Yeah. But again, I would say that on the whole, giving up all sodas to move to water is a better choice for most people.
You know, and I've done that, but I'll tell you what, it's boring. I mean, really, and I haven't had soft drinks in a couple of years, maybe a sip, but I at dinner, it's like I like water. I'm a big water drinker, and I drink plain tea. You know, I've never put anything in tea, but it's dull. And, you know, I drink milk sometimes. What can people have so it's just not boring?
You could put fruit in your teas, like in the pitcher. So limes and lemons, oranges, and make it look prettier. Make sure you put some ice. You could put some mint in the water. That will help. But really, there may be other options as well, like drink a glass of water and have an apple, right? So, or drink some water with some mint and have some carrots, you know, just some regular baby carrots without anything on them. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's just some things that you just need to kind of, I think, accept that you're making healthier choices for yourself. And so, you know, one thing can't be everything to you.
Food is part of our life. Right. And to take away all of that from people at this beginning of the new year is not fair and isn't going to help people do a lot better. So, again, it is about moderation. It is about making healthier choices, not a strict, by the way, I am only going to consume rice and pasta this year. Right. That's just not realistic. So you have to find ways
or a good idea.
Yeah. So it's about trying to make those choices in a way that fits with your life. And that's what Bonnie was talking about, trying to make small changes, substituting one item at a time to help you on the road to making better health choices.
Yeah, our professional organization, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, actually supports an idea called the total diet approach, which is what Sunny, I think, was referring to as well. And that is that, you know, there aren't good foods and bad foods. You know, we don't like to categorize foods that way, but rather there are good and bad diet patterns. And so, you know, if there is a food that you really love, that, you know, cheesecake or whatever it might be, don't feel that you can't have that the rest of your life. That's ridiculous. You can. You know, it's more about your entire pattern of eating.
This is from Joshua. Is it fair to say that the metabolism of calorie storage happens at a higher rate than calorie expenditure? In other words, is it easier to gain weight than to lose weight?
So it's definitely the case that it is easier to overeat compared to your expenditure than to undereat. So he's exactly right. And that leads to getting weight gain. But the problem is, even then, right, our bodies are regulating it in both directions. So in fact, if you tell people, I want you to gain 20 pounds this year, that actually is really aversive to people. In fact, the studies that have been done where you tell people to consume 4,000 or 5,000 calories a day, it sounds like it would be fun, but the reality is a couple days in, it's not fun anymore. In fact, the only really successful studies like this have used people who are in penitentiaries, right, where you have them locked up so that they can really be regulated in this way. So again, the body matters on both sides, but it's so much easier to overeat in the short run than it is to undereat, right? Your body works against that undereating much harder than it does the overeating.
And Chris wants to know again the name of the free app that you talked about, the Daily Burn. Again, can you give us a little more detail? Just call the
it's
Daily Burn.
It's called Daily Burn Tracker, and it's in the I use an iPhone, so it's in the iPhone App Store. You can also go to dailyburntracker.com, and you can get more information. They have a lot of other tools that's there as well.
And is that a free app or is that?
Yeah, the Daily Burn Tracker. The app itself is free. Components within the app are paid. So the scanner, I think, is $1.99 or 99 cents. But the majority of the app is free.
We could go on. I have more questions, but we are out of time. So we're going to have you back maybe in June when, you know, not everybody's doing it then and not as inspired perhaps as they were in January to get there. I don't know, bathing suit season. You never know. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you for listening to Impact Cincinnati and 91.7 WVXU. My guest today, founder and CEO of Viable Synergy LLC, Sunny Southern. She's also a dietitian, director of the Cincinnati Diabetes and Obesity Center, and professor at UC College of Medicine, Department of Internal Medicine, Dr. Randy Seeley, and University of Cincinnati College of Nursing professor, and also a dietitian, Dr. Bonnie Brehm. Archives of our programs are available on our website, wvxu.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier.